Thank you for joining us and listening to this message from the Ministry of Grace Providence Church in Cerritos, California. For more information, visit our website at www.graceprovidencechurch.org.
Have our reading from Romans 8 again, 26 through 30. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Now let me begin with a question to introduce this sermon. What area of your life as a believer do you feel is the weakest? The thing that you have the most trouble with as a Christian, in which you need the most help? Now, if you say prayer, that would probably be the answer that most of us would give. We all find that prayer is difficult. Many struggle in prayer. They struggle to pray, as well as what to pray, how to pray. And Paul is speaking to this problem in the Christian life right here. He's got great encouragement for us when it comes to prayer. And that is the help of the Holy Spirit. This is another encouragement regarding the Spirit's ministry to Christians and how He ministers to His people, to His children. So let's think our way through these two verses. And I want you to know, just in the opening of verse 26, I'm calling this 26a for the first part, that Paul tells us, generally, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Some of the translations have weaknesses, because some of the Greek manuscripts have the plural there. The one that our Bible is based on, certain manuscripts, it's singular, so it's translated weakness. It really doesn't make any difference because it could be looked at both ways. Notice what Paul says. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, that word likewise, or in this In the same way, it could be translated, in the same way. Paul is making a comparison to something he just said in the previous section. And there's different ideas as to what that comparison is. From a week ago, you were all here, most of you, and you remember we talked about the groaning of creation and the groaning of Christians. Now, in this section, he talks about the groaning of the Spirit. So that could be the link. As creation groaned and as believers groan, so even the Holy Spirit is groaning in prayer for us. That could be the connection. Others, they connect it like this, that as hope supports us as believers in our suffering, the hope of the redemption of our bodies that he has spoken of, the future hope, the eschatological hope, as theologians like to talk about, meaning the hope in the future. as hope supports us in our sufferings, our trials in this life, and enables us to rise above them, so the Spirit helps us in our weakness. This could be the connection, the comparison that he's making from the previous passage to what he says now. Or another connection is, as the Spirit is at work in our hearts, confirming to us our adoption, confirming to us that we belong to God, so he is now at work in us to help us bear up under our weaknesses. So there's real no consensus among the scholars as to what Paul's connection is. I'm throwing all of those out for you just to think about. He's clearly making a comparison. Well, let's move on. So the Spirit helps us in our weakness. That word help is a little word in English, but the Greek word is a double compound word, meaning it's got a lot of words put together, and the idea of that word is, listen to this, to come alongside to help bear a heavy burden. That's what the verb means. To come alongside to help bear a heavy burden. Or to lend a hand together with. It's only used two times in the New Testament, the word here. And you find Luke using it in his gospel, chapter 10, verse 41, when Jesus is in the home of Mary and Martha. Remember, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. She just wants to hear his word and be taught. And Martha, she's busy about making a meal. And she's not happy that her sister is kind of sitting and like that. And she says to Jesus, tell my sister to come and lend me a hand. Help me serve. So that's an interesting use of the word. Only those two times in the New Testament. So the Spirit comes alongside of us in our weakness. Now, the word weakness is a comprehensive term here. It's used in many in three ways in the New Testament. A person who has a disability because of illness or a disease, that word is applied to them. They're in a condition of weakness. So it's a physical disability. It's also used in a sense of man's frailty and weakness because of human nature. When Jesus in the garden said, wanted the disciples to pray with him and watch with me, he said, can't you watch with me even 1 hour? And then he sort of excused them by saying, the Spirit is willing, but what? The flesh is weak. So the Lord understood weakness. It's a characteristic of human nature. It's not necessarily a sin. It belongs to us as human beings to be weak. But then it's also used in the sense of a person who lacks confidence, who has a feeling of inadequacy, a sense of helplessness. And I think Paul uses it in that sense when in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he wanted the thorn in his flesh to be removed, and God said no, he asked three times in prayer that it be taken away. Apparently an evil spirit was tormenting the apostle with some physical affliction. We don't know the nature of that physical affliction. Some people say it was his eyesight. There's different opinions about it. He doesn't define what it is, but apparently it was something physical that tormented him. And he didn't like it. He wanted to get rid of it. And he prayed against it that it would be removed. Finally, the Lord said to him, it's not my will to take it away. My strength is made perfect in your what? Your weakness. So Paul was feeling weak as a human, but also is feeling inadequate. He had a sense of inadequacy in his work, his mission. He compared himself to a clay jar that was very easily broken. We're just all clay jars. But we have this treasure in a clay jar, the treasure of the gospel. So I believe this is a comprehensive term, weakness, that sort of sums up the totality, the whole range of weaknesses that characterize our fragile human experience in this world. So it's not definitive exactly. It's a broad term for all of our weaknesses. Now, Paul is going to focus on a particular area of weakness in the rest of the verse. And I want to move right into that. This is my second point, 26b, the second half of the verse. So after announcing, generally, the Spirit comes alongside of us to help us bear our heavy load as human beings. And because we're weak in this world, we need His help. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. He now passes on to explain how He helps us and in what particular area He helps us. Paul says, "For we do not know what to pray for as we ought." Now, he's not talking about praying generally for people out there and for the world. He's talking about how to pray for yourself, because we don't have a real understanding of our own needs. This is part of our weakness. We don't realize our need. There's some lack of self-awareness spiritually among us. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us bear up under our own burdens, because He knows what our areas of weakness are. But now, specifically, there's a weakness in the whole area of prayer. I don't know how to pray for myself. I don't know what my needs are. I don't know what God's will is for me. But there's someone who does. The Holy Spirit knows. So this is a common weakness to all Christians, not knowing what we should pray for with respect to our own situations. Just like I just mentioned Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, he was praying for the thorn in the flesh to be taken away. So he didn't understand until it was revealed to him what his need was. His need was to have that thorn and to bear that thorn. But he was praying to get rid of it. And that's often the way it is with trials. You know, how do I pray? Do I pray, "Lord, please get me out of this. Get me out of this fire. I don't like the suffering that I'm in right now. Please deliver me." Or would he have us pray, "Lord, give me grace to endure this. Give me the strength to bear up under this trial that you've brought me into." So we're at a loss, oftentimes, to know what our own need is. We don't understand what God's will is for us at that moment. But what does Paul tell us here? "But the Spirit Himself," I like this, he's emphasizing, "the Spirit Himself intercedes for us." Now, there is some discussion whether the Holy Spirit is helping us in our praying. Is that what he's talking about? And I don't take that view. The language here to me is clear. It's not me praying. It's the Holy Spirit who's making intercession. That He knows what our need is. And notice, He intercedes for us, Paul says. What does that mean? Well, for our benefit, on our behalf. The Spirit is an intercessor for God's people. It's His interceding specifically for our particular needs in the context of weakness and the need to bear up under the trials, the things that God brings into our life. Notice the nature of the Spirit's intercession. How he describes it. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. In other words, it's unspoken. It's not verbal. It doesn't need to be verbal. We're going to read in the next verse that God knows the mind of the Spirit. He knows what the Spirit is saying and what the Spirit is willing. The groanings too deep for words. That is, it's incapable of being expressed, but it's understood by God. Do we know when this is happening? Are we conscious of this? I don't believe so. This is going on behind the scenes. So the groanings, Dr. Lloyd-Jones is very strong saying God does not groan. So he does not believe that the Spirit is actually groaning. It could be a metaphor. It could be something we just don't understand, and Paul is putting it in language so that we just kind of get a grasp of what it is. Whatever, it's unspoken, it is wordless, but it's understood by God, his intercession. I think we have no awareness when it's happening. So, I mean, just think for a moment. Why is it when you have been in a situation that you would normally think, I should be utterly crushed by what is happening to me right now? How is it that you're able to press on and your faith remains intact? You know, a lot of people, they throw their faith overboard the moment serious tragedy strikes. Well, I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe in God. They're ready to abandon their professed faith as soon as difficulties arise in their life. While other Christians remain strong. In fact, they get stronger. And they hang in there. How is that? I think it's the Holy Spirit behind the scenes praying for us. Just like Jesus telling Peter, you know, Satan has desire to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. After you are converted, you will strengthen your brothers. Well, here it is, Paul telling us that the Spirit prays, intercedes in our behalf. He's an intercessor. It's an interesting idea, isn't it? Now, in verse 27... and this is what I want to say about verse 27. What Paul says here, it to me, Paul is assuring us of the success of the Spirit's intercession, that the Spirit prays with effect, that what he asks for us is heard and answered by God. We can be sure the Spirit's intercession is heard and answered. Verse 27. And Paul goes on and says, notice, and he who searches the hearts, who's he talking about there? Well, he's talking about God, Yahweh, the Father. This is an Old Testament concept especially, that God searches the heart. That is, he examines the heart. He knows man's heart. At least 10 times in the Old Testament, we're told that God searches the heart. He knows what is in man. And he moves from that to saying he also knows the mind of the Spirit. So God, who searches the heart, who knows what our need is, he knows us, he knows what our real deep need is. But Paul says He knows the mind of the Spirit. Now, over in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11, Paul says that the Spirit knows the mind of God. So both of those are true. God knows the mind of the Spirit. The Spirit knows the mind of God. a correlating passage. So in other words, there's a mutual knowledge among the persons of the Godhead. There's a harmony there, a mutual understanding of man's need. God, who knows the heart, the Spirit knows the heart of man as well. And God knows what the Spirit's intercession is. God knows what the Spirit is asking for, although it may be with unspoken groans. Sounds that baffle words. And he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes, second time he says it, for the saints according to the will of God. Literally, it is in the original according to God, but I believe it's correct to read that according to the will of God, that that's what Paul intends. So the Spirit's intercession, it is efficacious, use that word, that means it produces the response that the Spirit expects by his intercession. It is effective intercession. It is heard intercession, because it's for the needs of the saints and it's agreeable to the will of God. So when you and I don't know what God's will is for our life, the Spirit knows. We don't know what God's will. You know, there's the secret will of God. There is the Bible only talks about one will. But you can look at the will of God from two different angles. You can look at the will of God being the revealed will of God, what is in the Bible. That's called the will of God, what he has revealed. But that pertains to what God wants us to do, what our duty is. But there's another angle on the will of God, and that's the secret will. That is what God determines what is going to be concerning our life. And I'm not privy to that will. That's his secret will, as Moses spoke in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children, that we may do them. The secret and the revealed will of God. I don't know what the secret will is. I don't know what God wants me to do tomorrow. It's none of my business. I don't need to know it. It's best that I don't know it. Thankfully, God withholds that information from us. But the Holy Spirit knows. And the Holy Spirit prays for us according to that will, to guide us in the will of God, to support us when we would otherwise collapse under the pressures of this life. So it's a very wonderful thing he's telling us here. In other words, the Holy Spirit makes perfect intercession. The Holy Spirit makes perfect intercession according to God for the saints. So when you don't know what to pray for yourself, you don't know what your need is at any particular hour, the Holy Spirit is there to intercede for us. It's an amazing truth that Paul is declaring here. Now, I like the illustration that Abraham Kuyper used in his work on the Holy Spirit. And he compared it to this. He said, take a 6-year-old child who is sick and dying. That child does not understand the gravity of his condition. He doesn't really know what his own need is, and he doesn't know what to ask for. But his mother does. And so the mother kneels down at his bedside and prays amazing prayer for this child. This, he says, is essentially what Paul is telling us the Holy Spirit does for us. We don't know our own condition. We don't understand our needs. But the Spirit prays for us. We're too weak to understand and many times too sick to pray. And I identified with that because when I was young, growing up, I was, everything that I got, I thought I was going to die from. I grew up when there were not vaccines for all the childhood diseases, and my brother and I got them all. And I was very sick with several of them. And I remember asking my mom, "Mom, please pray for me. I was fearful I was going to die. I couldn't pray for myself. I didn't know how to pray for myself. But I believe my mother did. You know, I asked her to pray for me." The fact that the Holy Spirit prays according to God, that's Paul's language, or meaning agreeable to God. Agreeable to what? To his will. This is precisely what 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, that we have this confidence in him. We have this confidence before him that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. This is one of the conditions of answered prayer, is that the prayer is according to the will of God. So when I pray about something, it's a hit or miss thing. It's a shot in the dark, if you want to know the truth, a lot of times, because I don't know what God's will is. But the Holy Spirit does, and he can make intercession for us. So let me just close on this final point, and it's a wonderful thing that we're being taught here. Later in this chapter, Paul is going to tell us that the Lord Jesus Christ makes intercession for us at the right hand of God. We'll come to that later in the chapter. But here in the section on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when Paul is encouraging Christians, assuring them of their secured place before God as his children, he brings out the fact that the Holy Spirit is also an intercessor for God's people. So that means you and I have two intercessors. One in heaven and one in our hearts. It's amazing. The Lord Jesus Christ deals with our sin, principally. That's where his advocacy comes in. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. But the Holy Spirit isn't dealing with sins per se. He's dealing with what? Weakness. Weakness. The things in this life that bear us down, that make us aware of our fragility as human beings, and especially our need to pray for ourselves and not knowing how to pray for ourselves, the Spirit steps in and prays for us.
Thank you for joining us and listening to this message from the Ministry of Grace Providence Church in Cerritos, California. For more information, visit our website at www.graceprovidencechurch.org.